Right. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. While you're turning there, two things. If you would, pray for Miss Adie Pike. She is having surgery Friday. I would have got there eventually. All right, Friday. She's having surgery on Friday, so you pray for her and that everything would go good and it'll do exactly what it's supposed to do and she'll recover quickly. So do remember to pray for her. Also, I talked yesterday to Brother Nathan Patterson. He called me from down in Mexico. They had gotten home. He said, had to have somebody drive us home. He said, my mom drove us to the border. And then he said, we had a fellow in our church come up, ride the bus up and meet us at the border and drove us home. He said, man, I was just too weak. I couldn't do it. But he spent at least 5 minutes on the phone saying thank you. Just over and over and over again. Thank you for what you did as a church. What we did as a church, not to me personally, but to you. I hope you understand that. What we did as a church for their Christmas for a missionary. He told me, he said, preacher, if I'd have been there, I'd have just wept the whole time. He said, we did that anyway when we were opening gifts. And he said, everything was such a blessing. He said, truly, I had not bought the kids anything. And he said, but as it turned out, I didn't need to. He said, God supplied the need. And one of the gifts, I'll just say this, one of the gifts we gave him was a set of power tools. He said, I work with those all the time, but he said, the only thing I've ever had is cheap junk. He said, this is the best I've ever had. I've never had anything this good. And he was so excited and so happy and so grateful. And he said, please be sure you tell the church how much we appreciate what you did. He said, we love you folks. And I said, well, we had spare money, so it was no big deal. I said, look, we just wanted to be a blessing. Just wanted to be a blessing. And so we're supposed to get a video. His brother videoed it, and he told me, he said, I've got to edit it a little bit. But he's supposed to send us that video, and if we get it, we'll show it at the church when they open those gifts. So I told him, I said, Brother Nathan, I just want to tell you straight out, we do it selfishly.
Yes, sir.
I said, because we get such a blessing from doing it. Just to be a part of it. So he was excited. He said, I'm looking forward. He said, I'm going to be hunting Monday for a tailor to tailor the suit down to my size, everything down to him. And he said, my wife's excited about being able to go buy a new dress. And he told me, he said, I needed a suit. I was down to one. And he said, I've been wearing it all the time. So everything was just a blessing. So just wanted to pass that along to you. All right. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you will. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I want to leave off reading right there, and I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of watch out. Watch out. Since the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, it has been, and even in his day, it began in that day, it's been necessary to warn the child of God. It is something that is greatly needed. There is a great possibility of apostasy, all right? And truthfully, it's a fact of history. Apostasy is nothing new. Apostates are nothing new. They had them then. We have them now. You say, what is an apostate? Well, it infects the brethren with false doctrine, okay? The apostates infect the brethren with false doctrine. They confuse people. They deceive people. And truthfully, they damn people who are drawn from the truth to believe a lie. And it is a serious thing. And to be, you say, what is apostasy? It's basically just pulling away from the truth, all right? That's basically what it is. So I want you to notice with me a few things here in this scripture, in this passage. Number one, we see the prediction of what the Lord said, told Timothy through the Apostle Paul was coming. He said, some shall depart from the faith, all right? Notice Paul said it's going to happen in the latter days. Notice it didn't say the last days. It wasn't necessary to wait till just before the return of Christ, but it's going to be in the latter days that some are going to depart from the faith. If you ever sit down and begin to study real, true church history, you find that, man, the church was afflicted almost immediately with false doctrine, all kinds of things, and they've got all kinds of words for it, Gnosticism and Arminianism and Calvinism, and there's so many isms out there, I don't even try to keep up with them, all right? But there's just a bunch of them, and we didn't have to wait till the last days. That matter of apostasy has been around a long time, hundreds of years. Now notice the Bible said folks depart from the faith.
That's right.
The faith. That's the faith that was given to us.
Amen.
In the Word of God.
Right.
You say, what's the faith? It's what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And some will depart. Now notice that some refers, if you will, to a number who will depart. Not everybody.
Amen.
Turns away from the truth.
Not
everybody turns away from the truth. There will always be some who stick with the truth.
Amen.
Now, I believe as we see the day of Christ approaching and the return of the Lord, then the number who depart, I believe, increases kind of exponentially. We just get away from it, all right? We get away from that truth. We turn from the Bible, but not everybody's going to do that, but definitely some will. There's always going to be some. And there's always going to, and in, maybe I ought to say in some cases, there'll be many that'll depart from the truth. You say, why do we do it? Well, the truth is restrictive. The truth restrains us. You say it any way you want to, it puts a fence around us. It draws a course for us to stay on. We use that terminology, staying on the terminology straight, stay on the straight and narrow. We talk about wandering away. Well, the truth is restrictive. The truth of the matter is when you live by the truth of the Word of God, I'm going to say it this way, there's not a lot of wiggle room. There's not a lot of place where we can wiggle and say, well, we don't have to do it that way. We don't have to do, well, wait a minute. Now, you get people today talking about truth, the essential truth. Just you pick the place you say is not essential. I'm not going to do that, all right? I believe what God's given us is essential. I believe he's given us the truth, and we're to stick with it. That is the faith once delivered to the saints. We're to stay with it, and people pull away from it because we don't like to be constrained so much. Now, you take any kid you want to do with. You put them in a very tiny yard and they will seek to climb the fence. But put them in a big yard. They will seek to climb the fence. Fill it with all kinds of playground equipment. They will still stand at the fence going, I wish I was out there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I wish I could play on that piece of ground. These people won't let me do my thing. My daughter-in-law, I think most of you know, she runs a daycare.
Amen.
And used to go by there and you see kids at the chain link fence. And now they put up a wood fence. Kids can't see out, all right? They just peep through a crack, I guess, you know, is all. But you can't see them there, but I guarantee you they're there. I mean, it doesn't matter how much playground equipment, there's going to be some kids standing at the fence.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You get in a pasture, and pasture's lush grass, there'll be one cow with his head sticking through the barbed wire trying to get a bite out of the ditch out there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, you said, are you talking about, you saying we're cows? if the shoe fits, I guess, you know. No, I'm not saying you're a cow, but we're human beings. And there is something about us that chafes against authority and wants to defy it, wants to break the rule, no matter what the rule is. We want to do it. Hey, that's the problem. We depart from the truth because we don't like the restrictiveness of that truth. Hey, you watch out. Some shall depart from the faith. Now notice why. Notice what it says there. Here's the problem. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Hey, we depart from the faith because we get seduced. We get seduced. The Bible talks about seducing spirits. But wait a minute. Your Bible, if you turn to 1 John chapter 4, flip there, don't lose your place where we are. We'll be coming back. But you look in 1 John chapter 4, would you? And notice what the Bible instructs us to do about spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hey, listen, just because somebody says Jesus doesn't mean you can trust them. And just because somebody seems spiritual, just because somebody talks about the Spirit, doesn't mean they're to be followed. The devil is going to do everything he can to you and I to pull us away from the truth. You said, preacher, you and I, yeah. You said, wait a minute. I believe what I believe. Maybe I've been an independent fundamental Baptist for 43 years. I've known them, been that for years, and then stray away.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Why? They get seduced by seducing spirits. All right? To pull you away, to, the Bible said, doctrines of devils. All right? Seducing spirits. Just think about it, if you would. All right? You need to be careful what you listen to. You need to be careful what you listen to. You need to be careful who you listen to. You know, I've mentioned what passes for Christian television or Christian radio. I was going to tell you the truth. Most of that stuff out there is false doctrine. Most of that stuff has got some false doctrine there, all right? Some of it goes a long way in the wrong direction. Now, if you're not firmly grounded in what you know and what you believe and why you believe it, you need to be very careful about who you listen to, all right? About who you listen to. When my daughter was going to Bible college, we had messed around and I hadn't taught her driver's ed, so the first semester of Bible college, I had to take her over and pick her up and bring her back. And so when she was going, and usually coming back, it was the right time of day, there was a guy on the radio who, he said it was Apostle. Not Apostle, but Apostle. Right. Apostle Murray. Right. And I would listen to him. He is a black guy from over in Dallas. And man, sometimes I enjoyed listening to him. I enjoyed listening to him. When he was right, he was dead right. I mean, boy, he would let her rip preaching. But occasionally I go, oh, what a waste. He's done wandered away from the truth now, you know. Hey, you got to be careful. You got to be careful who you listen to. And you definitely need to be careful and you give even more heed to what you heed. You say, what's the difference? Well, you can listen to something without heeding it. Some of you have seen the stop sign, but you didn't heed it. You drove through it. Some of you have seen the red light, but you didn't heed it. We're not going to talk about how many of us have seen the speed limit sign and didn't heed it, okay? Because we just don't heed it. We see it, but we don't heed it. You be careful what you give heed to, all right? All that sounds good is not necessarily good. It's not necessarily good. Everything, as I've said, that mentions the Lord Jesus Christ is not necessarily the truth. Not necessarily the truth. You need to be extremely careful, all right? You need to look and see, hey, what does this stuff produce? What does it produce? You say, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible in verse 2 says, speaking lies and hypocrisy. It's lies coming from a seared conscience. Notice, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Lies are produced. You watch out. Look, all false doctrine, remember, it's a lie. It's a lie. The hyper-Calvinism that's preached and taught across, not our land, but the whole world, and that says that you were ordained before the foundation of the world, whether or not you were going to heaven or hell, and you've got no vote, you've got no say in it, and if God's ordained you for hell, you're going to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. And on the same token, if he's ordained for you for heaven, you're going even if you don't want to. Now, they wouldn't say it like that, but that's what it boils down to. Now, that's a lie. If it wasn't a lie, then the Bible would not over and over say, whosoever, whosoever, whosoever will, whosoever will. If it didn't say that, then it wouldn't mean it, but it does. So what are you saying? I'm saying that that false doctrine, seducing spirits, produces lies. It produces lies. Now, they can be very deceptive lies, because they usually have a kernel of truth in them. A kernel of truth in them. And the truth is told, but the truth is twisted. It gets twisted. False doctrine comes about because true doctrine gets twisted. It gets twisted a little bit. And because men would rather believe a lie than to believe the truth, folks get carried into doctrines of devils. Now, you and I need to be careful that we do not let that happen. That's why the Bible says, that's why I'm saying to you, watch out. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy and warned him, this is coming. You need to be prepared for it. You need to preach about it. You need to warn other people that this thing is coming. You said, but hey, listen, that person is so good. They're such a good person. Just because a person's a good person doesn't mean they're going to tell you the truth. Doesn't mean they're going to tell you the truth. We get deceived because people we like deceive us. And we don't want to stand against them. We don't want to do it, all right? Notice what else it says, this lie. Notice it said forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. Well, let me see if your Bible says what mine does. Would you look in Hebrews chapter 13? Would you look in Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13, would you just drop down to verse 4? Marriage is honorable in most cases, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Does your Bible say that? Your Bible doesn't say that, I hope. Doesn't say marriage is honorable in all except for the clergy and the bed undefiled. That's not what it said. The Bible said marriage is honorable in all. In all. Marriage is an honorable thing. That crowd that would come along and forbid to marry is a direct violation of the complete plain word of God. Direct violation of the scripture. But yet, we see that kind of thing taught, and we see that kind of thing broadcast out there. Why? Because of false doctrine. Because of apostasy. Because of apostasy. Hey, look out! Yeah. Anybody starts giving you something like that, you know, that, hey, listen, that's why we passed out those Bible reading calendars. That's why they're laying back there in the table on the foyer, okay? I want you to read your Bible. Why? Because I don't expect you to come to church and hear me preach and say, well, it's got to be right because he said it. No, I expect you to come have your Bible with you, and you've spent some time in the Word of God during the week, And when I'm standing here preaching and I say, let's turn to the scripture, you ought to turn to that scripture, all right? You ought to turn to that scripture. Look, there's a multitude of churches across our land today that used to be bastions for the truth. And if you go now, you'd hear very little truth. And that's because they allowed a preacher to come in and pull them aside from the truth. Hey, I'm telling you, you need to know what this book says. You need to study it. You need to study it. Then when you hear something, you go, that doesn't sound right. You may even hear scripture read, and they say, I'm reading the Bible, and you'll hear it, and you go, hey, that doesn't sound right. I'll never forget. Now, y'all excuse me, but we're going to name names. I don't want you to leave here wondering who he's talking about, okay? Amen. I'll never forget years ago hearing Jimmy Swaggart on TV, and he was quoting a verse of Scripture, and I thought, man, that's an interesting verse of Scripture, but he only got so far in the verse, and he cut it off. And I thought, that's sorry, Jaybird. See, if he had quoted the rest of Scripture, that rest of that passage was a testimony for the eternal security of the blood-bought believer. But old Jimmy Swaggart don't believe that. He believes you can lose your salvation. And I'm sure he believes he can, but he believes you can, all right? He believes you can lose that thing. Hey, so they're very careful about how they quote the Scripture, all right? Be careful, be careful. Watch out, all right? Notice the next thing it says, they're commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Amen. Commanding to abstain from meats. Now, I'll be honest, I can't go on without just this observation, stating the obvious. This describes one religious organization that has been in my lifetime. And Catholicism is the ones that forbid their priests to marry. Catholicism is the one that used to. It was a sin if you ate meat on Friday. You could only eat fish. I remember as a kid in school, school lunches on Friday, we'd have fish. Well, imitation fish, fish sticks, all right. But that's what we'd have, but it'd be on Friday, every Friday, okay? Every Friday. And I remember the jokes that were told.
Oh, yes.
I remember the jokes that were told. The Catholic fellow over here, every Friday, his neighbor would get out and grill a steak.
Right.
And man, it just drove him nuts. So he started recruiting him, and he finally got him over and got him to come to the Catholic church with him, and finally decided he'd join. And the Catholic priest took the water, and he said, you know, once a Methodist, now a Catholic.
Yeah.
And that Catholic guy said, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have to smell that steak cooking on Friday anymore. Sure enough, the next Friday, he's out in his backyard, and he gets that aroma, the same aroma coming out of there. And he looked over the fence, and there that guy is grilling a big old steak.
Yeah. Amen.
And he says, man, wait a minute, wait, you can't do that, you're Catholic. And he said, no, watch. He said, once a steak, now a fish. And he said, it's all right. It's all right. You said, preacher, you ought not to make fun. Look, when you can't take the scripture and you violate the word of God and you condemn people because they stand on the word of God, and you pronounce anathema on them and say that they cannot go to heaven because they disagree with you? Yeah, I got a problem with it. I got a problem with that realm. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, watch out. Apostasy comes in all forms. It comes in all forms. And when we get pulled away from the truth of the Bible, we get in trouble. You say, well, what can we do about it? Well, I believe the answer is in verse 5. But we're going to read, starting in verse 3, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I believe with all my heart, if you want to keep yourself from going into apostasy, number one, you stick with the word of God. Stick with the word of God. This is a day of rampant apostasy. But you don't have to allow yourself to be seduced by devilish spirits. I believe it can be avoided. How do you avoid it? Sticking with the Bible. Get in the Word of God. Stick to what God has to say. Make it a part of you, all right? Don't allow anything to have the same standing as Scripture. Don't allow anything. You see, I'm saying to you, don't allow, well, we're going to have this, and then we're going to have our teachings.
Oh, no.
Nope. The Mormon Church would tell you today they believe the King James Bible insofar as it is correctly translated. Now, that's what they'd tell you. But up there with it, they stack this and this and this and this and this. But nothing measures up to this. This is the standard. This is the standard. And what you do when I say you stick with the Word of God, when anything else comes along, you compare it with the standard. You compare it with the standard. I don't think anybody has ever made a better pecan pie than my mama. I don't think anybody's ever made a better pecan pie than my mama. You said, Brother Mosley, you're going to get in trouble. Your wife's sitting over there. I didn't say she hadn't made one as good.
That's right. Amen.
But ain't nobody ever made one better.
Amen.
And if I eat pecan pie, and I do have and like to sample them and see, but every time I do, don't measure up to mama's.
No, sir.
Not as good. It just doesn't measure up, all right? I mean, that is the standard.
That's right.
My uncle passed away, and I had a part in his funeral. And one of the things I said was, my uncle was a barber.
Yep.
Well, he was and he wasn't.
Right. Amen.
He was self-taught. He never went to barber school, never went to barber college. But I promise you, his skill as a barber,
yes, sir.
Every haircut I've ever received,
amen.
I compare it to his.
Right.
Everyone. As far as I'm concerned, for me, he set the standard.
Yes, sir.
Never went to barber school. Huh? He said, how'd you get a job? He started cutting hair at the VA hospital in Georgia, someplace in Georgia, Dublin, Georgia. He started and went there, and I told people he just didn't let them see the mirror when he was started, you know. And those guys, they were VA, you know, they were veterans, and he just didn't let them see the mirror. And he practiced on them, you know. He answered an ad, and he went in. They were looking for a barber, and he said, I needed a job. I said, I'm applying for that job. You a barber? Oh, yeah. You give me a clipper and scissors, and I'm fixing to be, all right? And I self-taught, but I promise. I promise, every haircut I ever get, I measure it against his. Hey, everything when it comes to eternal things, this is the measuring stick. When it comes to spiritual truth, when it comes to doctrine, it's here. It's here. It's not what Dr. Snugglefuss says. I don't care what he says. What does the Bible say? It's not what some author says. It's what does the Bible say? Everything needs to be examined in comparison to what this book says, all right? It doesn't matter if it's expounded by somebody you like or someone who's popular in this world. There's a lot of popular fellows in this world, but man, they get to fooling around and they get away from the truth. I've said it to you before. I've listened to some. I've read behind some guys. I think they want to find something new in the Bible so bad that they find stuff God himself doesn't know is there. And they go on with it and say, this is it. Hey, look, they've twisted the book, all right?
Amen.
Just stick with the Word of God. Never allow tradition to overcome the Word. Never allow the desire for something new to confuse you. Never do that. Now, I've heard some guys preach some things I never thought about, but it was right in the Bible. It was in the Word of God. I'd read the passage many times, but I'd never thought about what it was said. But they weren't trying to tell me, now, I won't tell you, I've gone to the Greek and Hebrew, and I've got me a nugget here, and I'm fixing to whoop it on you. No, it's just the truth of the Bible. Hey, remember this, if it's true, it ain't new. And if it's new, probably not true. Probably not true, okay? I don't get up here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and say, okay, folks, going to give you something you never heard before. It's going to be good. No, I'm just getting up here preaching this old book. It hadn't changed in all the years since it was put on the paper. Hasn't changed. It won't happen. It won't change. It's okay, preacher, but what happens when you examine the Scripture but you're still not sure? Then you get on your face before God and ask Him for help. Get on your face before God and ask Him to help you. Because He's promised He will. Look at John chapter 16, would you? John chapter 16. Just get on your face before God. Hey, now, there's nothing wrong with going to somebody that you trust maybe as a spiritual mentor and a man of God or person of God and talking to them. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Oftentimes, I'll consult commentaries, and I found out the truth of what my dad told me years ago. He said, I'll tell you what's going to happen when you go to commentary. He said, you're going to find out the parts you don't know, the commentary writer didn't know either, all right? And they just slide right past it, okay? Hey, they don't know. But notice what John 16, 13 says. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Folks, listen to me. The Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us into the truth. To lead us and to guide us there. I'm convinced that our God wants us to know the truth. He wants us to know the truth. That's why He gave us the Bible. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. Why? To help us to the truth. But don't be quick to jump. All right? Don't be quick to jump. You look at something and you think, man, that's something. Wait a minute. Make sure you compare Scripture with Scripture. Make sure you do that. I've always loved the illustration. Somebody told it to me years and years ago. I don't know who it was. And he says, I can take the Bible and twist the Scriptures and convince you you should go out and commit suicide. Right now. You never do that. Wait a minute. Watch it. You take the Scriptures, you can find the Scripture where the Bible said, and Judas went out and hanged himself.
That's right. Come on. Yes, sir.
Is that not in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
You can go to another Scripture and you'll find out, go thou and do likewise.
Amen. That's right.
You go to another Scripture, it says, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly.
That's right. Come on.
But none of them put together are to be put together. You don't go pick and choose and stick stuff together that doesn't fit, all right? You don't do that. You need to be careful. Watch out. The world's in a mess. Some have departed from the faith. I've got a friend or two that have. I've got some friends. I dearly love them. That we were friends. I'm still their friend. I just don't get around them much because they've gone into false doctrine.
Yes,
I am determined I'm not going to follow them.
Amen.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay with this book right here. I'm going to keep praying, and I hope you'll do the same thing.
Amen.
Don't you allow yourself be seduced away by some slick, talking, devilish individual.
Yes,
don't do it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'll help us tonight. Lord, help us to know the truth. Lord, you've said we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But Lord, it's so easy sometimes for us as your children to be deceived if we're not careful. Lord, if we give heed to the seducing spirits, we'll go wrong too. God, help that not to happen. Lord, help us to make that decision that we're going to stick with the Word of God. We're going to live it. We're going to love it. And we're just going to stay with it. Lord, give us that. Give us that courage. Give us that determination. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.